CliffCentral.com.
All right. Good morning, everybody. We are here. We are live. It's Monday morning. We've got Jack Mutlanzi. We've got Leanne Moll. And we've got you and me. So let's hear from you. We want to talk about anything you've got on your mind. You've got a couple of news stories to get to. We've got Judith Sepuma and possibly Lebo M joining us just now. That's going to be fun. So we want to hear all the stuff that you have on your mind this morning. Also, if you've been watching anything cool on the TV, because people have these series that they're all into, you know, some people, it's amazing to me. I every week, someone says to me, oh, what, you haven't seen this? And I feel so behind. I just haven't watched any of these series that everybody's into.
So, yeah, but it feels like there's 20 new series that pop up every week.
So
like,
true.
It's sometimes a little bit difficult to keep up.
So true.
I'm in the lucky position where people have gifted me with their passwords for various platforms, and there's just too much to watch. But all the rage at the moment amongst the youth, you know, is the show called Ginny and Georgia. So it's a mother and daughter like drama, but that's already, I've already squashed two seasons of that. I'm all caught up. But you know, the sort of trends that you see on TikTok and all of that, that's where it's kind of showing up as a big thing, especially because the one teenage star in it is this really hot Australian guy. So that always drives interest. It's Ginny and Georgia is the thing at the moment, if you wanted to know the trends.
So, yeah, my sister's boyfriend was saying to me, he got Disney Plus. And I said to him, oh, okay, you know, I've heard Disney Plus is very average. He's like, no. If you want to go back to your childhood and watch like Tailspin and the Gummy Bears and all of that shit, then this is apparently the thing to have. Now, I don't have – this is so embarrassing to admit. I've got to do it, though. I don't have any of that stuff. I don't have Netflix. I don't have Showmax. I don't have Disney Plus. I don't have Amazon Prime. I have none of them. And I don't watch a lot of TV, so I'm definitely the exception. I'm not the rule here, and I get that. But I think there are a few people like me in the world who don't watch any TV. I've got one TV in my house – and it's hardly ever on. I do watch series, but I watch them on my laptop. So,
yeah, I mean, I only use one of the platforms on the actual TV. The rest of I just watch on my phone or my laptop.
Mm.
Actually, you know, Disney Plus is not all that bad. I've come across a couple of really good shows on Disney. I love Boston Legal.
I love that show.
When I came across it on Disney Plus, I lost my mind. I could not believe it. I was so happy.
So, Jack, has it held up reasonably well? Because I remember watching it in the late 2000s, and the 2008, 2009, somewhere around there. I think that was when it came out on TV in the first place. But I remember watching it then and thinking, this is the best show ever. Has it held up okay?
It really has. In fact, when you compare, or at least the conversations that happen on the show back then, and how unafraid they were to actually talk about things and tackle the issues of the day, it's such a breath of fresh air. Like it makes you wonder what happened in the past 10 years for us to be so nancy-pansy.
Yeah,
as Judge Brown would say, you know. Disney. In fact, so Disney Plus for me is not that bad. I actually came across a series that I was watching recently. It's a short series about Chippendales. You know, the male exotic dancer club, and that story is nuts. It's absolutely insane. So the guy who started this thing is this Indian fellow, Steve Banerjee. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. And you watch how he goes from this diligent guy who worked at a petrol station and saved for years and years and years, and he just opened up a club. Initially trying to open up a backgammon club. And you watch how the story goes from that to him being behind bars on a RICO charge. It's unbelievably good to watch. I think you should check that out.
Okay, sounds good.
It's called Welcome to Chippendales. It's really good.
Okay, see, this is useful information. You get some good recommendations on this show. That's the least I could tell you.
Mm-hmm.
Very good.
And those ones mm-hmm. I did see, White Lotus, which I haven't got to yet.
Oh, love
that's
it.
All the rage as well. And Wednesday, which I've also just finished.
Sinonificent says, my favorite episode of Boston Legal is the chicken trial.
Yeah, that was a good episode. Really good episode.
Rajesh says 1923 and Yellowstone are two series set about 100 years apart. 1923 has got Harrison Ford and Helen Mirren, and Yellowstone has got Kevin Costner in it. That sounds pretty good. I won't lie, the lineup of stars there is pretty impressive. Very, very nice. All right, so we've got some good recommendations for this morning. Jeez, we've got a lot to do. All right, as I said, some news. So, apparently, we've spoken about this a million times before, but it's starting to become an international topic of conversation. So we started talking about it here, and now it's somewhere everyone's talking about it. A successful 4-day work week experiment in the UK and other developed countries showed workers' burnout and stress levels decreased, while the company's revenues climbed by 8%. It begs the question, could it become more than just an experiment? This is what employers, government representatives, trade unions, and strategists attending the World Economic Forum in Davos had to grapple with on Thursday. The answer is more complex than just a yes or a no. The experiment has been organized by somebody called, or some group of people called, the 4-Day Week SA Coalition. It's coming to South Africa this February. The reason for scaling it to other countries is that the 2022 experiment proved pace of work goes up as people work faster to finish 5 days of work in 4 days. They work more efficiently with meetings cut down to a maximum of 15 minutes. Now, that I like.
Yay. Uh-huh.
It's not because you want to be a charity. This is a business imperative, said the CEO of a global talent company. His business, which is called Randstad, has trained thousands of companies on how to retain and attract the best talent. He said, flexibility is no longer negotiable because key talent is scarce. In a recent survey, his company conducted 50% of the people who said they were willing to quit their jobs if they were not happy at work. He believes since many people have experienced flexibility during the pandemic, they are now thirsty for it. You should almost start to treat your talent as your customer, he says. You ask customers what they want, so you should do the same for your staff, within limits, obviously. He said, what we see today is that we're running quickly into a burnout society. And that, I feel, is like a big problem, especially if you consider, let's just think about this for a minute. If you're a parent, as well as being a really important worker at a very big company, you have a lot on your plate. You have to probably drop the kids in the morning, then you get to work, you hit the road running at work, you've got tons and tons of things to do, you go through meetings, you're in, you know, production, you're coming up with solutions to complex problems. Then you get home and you have to, you know, either cook or you have to spend time with the children. You have to do this. You have to do that. Help them with homework. God alone knows what. This is not even taking into consideration that you might be a single parent, which doubles the amount of work. And then by the time you eventually get to bed, you're like, you know, you're finished. Now, if you could do 4 days of really hard work and you could have a 3-day weekend, I think it would help a lot of people. I think it would make a lot of people less stressed, more happy, more balanced. And I do think that there's something to be said for this. Usually, if something comes out of the World Economic Forum, I'm very suspicious of it. But in this case, I think this is probably something we need to seriously consider.
Well, I mean, it was just recently when I told you that the experiment had been conducted in South Africa. Mm-hmm. And I think out of four, or it was between 4 and 7 companies that took part, all of them after the experiment decided to take on the new 4-day week and kept going with it. I'm sorry to bring it up, but load shedding for people who work from home who haven't organized themselves yet, a 4-day week wouldn't work because we already only have about 3 to 4 days worth of electricity to work with, and find ourselves finding extra hours over the weekend. That's certainly in my position. But when it comes to The Office, yeah. I mean, imagine not having your boss or colleagues WhatsApp you or Microsoft Teams you for 3 full days. That would be amazing.
I could be wrong about this, but I think, isn't Henry Ford to blame for all of this? Like, the world used to work on a 4-day work week until he came up with his assembly line, and then everything just went to shit from that point.
I'm not sure it was just him, but it was that whole industrial it was that whole industrial revolution thing that they wanted. So they gave people just enough, as I understand it, just enough time off of work to feel like they had a life. So it's the bare minimum is like these 2 days. And the one was obviously for a religious holiday. So, you know, for Jews, it would be Friday night into Saturday. For Christians, it would be Sunday. For Muslims, it would be Friday afternoons and then into Saturday. So, you know, they were doing just the little bit that they had to do. The bare minimum. So I don't know. I mean, to me, this is it's worth giving a go. It's worth trying, and I think we should. Then there's the entertainment industry that must also work the same hours. All the people can sit at home like in lockdown again. No, we don't want that.
No, I think that was. I'm not sure whose comment that was, but it's not the one. Mm-mm.
So Slippery Pickle says, if you could only get those children to wash dishes and cook food, you'd have the energy to work an extra day. That's a good point. There's nothing wrong with that. Children have got to, do chores.
I live next door to a family who have 2 young children. And there are certain things I've forgotten about being a child or having children around you. Mm-hmm. You'll hear one of the parents at some point going, Emma, please go to the bedroom and on top of the thing, under the shelf, next to the thing, next by the bathroom are my slippers. Please bring those. Okay, Daddy, coming. How convenient it was. How many times I look at my cats and I'm like, please go and switch off the light, please.
Yeah.
They're useful things to have around sometimes.
Sometimes, but you look at how complicated the instruction has to be.
Oh, yeah.
You know? All right, so that's one of the things I wanted us to pay attention to. The other one is this. That apparently, and I'm not going back to load shedding, I just think that this is quite interesting. The president, Cyril Ramaphosa, has asked Eskom to halt their 18.65% tariff hike. He said that you must please not implement it yet. He was giving closing remarks at the ANC's Free State Provincial Conference. The announcement prompted a host of civil society organizations to threaten legal action in an effort to ensure that load shedding and hikes were stopped. He said, I've told Eskom that it should consider halting the hiking of electricity prices, especially for now, while our people are struggling under high levels of load shedding. He reiterated that people were frustrated because their businesses were being put in jeopardy. Many people, this is now the president, many people are reporting that their businesses are failing because of load shedding, said Ramaphosa. He added that the government had not been idle and had been making every attempt to resolve the crisis. Any comments?
Well, I will say this for our president. Mm. He certainly has a firm grip of the obvious.
Yeah. There's been a bit of relaxation on the rules if you get solar power.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know about that, Gareth, especially as you're in the market right now. Mm. But apparently penalties won't be as much.
So at the moment, listen to this. At the moment, my panels are delivering 1,095 watts of electricity, and I'm only consuming 1,000. So I'm getting more into the batteries, and I'm not using any of Eskom's power right now. So that's a good thing. That's nice. That makes me feel good. And soon, I won't use any of their power. It's just a question of time and money. That's the way to go, right?
That's the dream.
Mm-hmm.
That is the dream. That is the dream.
Well, Slippery Pickle says, Slippery Pickle's got some interesting things to say this morning. Cats are proof of a round earth. If the earth were flat, everything would have been knocked off the edge already. So there's a wild,
100%.
Wild and dangerous opinion being shared on the show this morning. We're going to get cancelled on YouTube for that one.
Because of round earthers and flat earthers.
Round earthers. They're round earthers are the real dangerous crew. Okay, so
just
what did you want to say, As?
I wanted to say just a quick one. The new thing that flat earthers are claiming is that Australia is fake and all Australians are actors paid by NASA.
Yeah, that makes sense to me.
That you can check out on Facebook. The group is called Flat Earth Believers.
Because, I mean, if you...
Yeah, I don't trust Australians either.
If you've ever met an Australian, you know that they're actors. You know they're, not, you know they're pretending, right? All right, so let's get to this. I'm very excited to bring this person onto the show. Grammy Award-winning, Tony-nominated musical giant Lebo Morake, better known as Lebo M, is set to dazzle the UAE alongside fellow South African platinum-selling queen of Afro jazz, Judith Sepuma. They will perform alongside two-time Oscar and four-time Grammy winner, film score producer, and music composer Hans Zimmer at the Hans Zimmer Live special concert in Dubai. Having created exceptional music scores for tons of movies, Hans Zimmer is Hollywood's most innovative talent and film composer, alongside his awe-inspiring 40-year career. He's also known for his exceptionally theatrical and popular global tours, where his fans can enjoy his compositions live, followed by a full orchestra. So here she is, the queen of Afro jazz, and somebody who I bumped into briefly. How are you, Judith?
I'm fine. How are you, Gareth?
I'm fine. I saw you when I was on my way back from a holiday, and I was at O.R. Tambo, and you know how crazy that place is. And I suddenly turned around, and someone was waving, going, "Hey, Gareth." And I went, "Oh, my God, Judith." And I went, "Oh, my God, it's Judith." And then I was on my way up an escalator already, but it was so it was so nice to see you. It made that that return to Joburg craziness that much better. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you, Gareth? Thank you so much for having me this morning. And hi, everybody.
Well, it's so nice to see you. So first of all, congratulations on this amazing, you haven't done it yet, but this concert you're going to be doing in Dubai. I mean, it sounds absolutely phenomenal. And you're in really good company here. So tell us, how did it all happen?
From what I in 2016, actually, I was selected as the top three South African artists who were requested to join the Hans Zimmer tour. And at the time, Lebo actually inboxed me and sent me this yesterday before he got on the flight. And I said, "Oh my God, I remembered, but I did not remember what year it was." So when that happened, I could not make the tour. And then this, I think, year ago, he reached out again and he said, "Listen, they need you again for the tour." And I said, "Oh my goodness, this is the perfect time. We are coming out of such an amazing time with COVID. So what better way to go celebrate the world and see the world?" And I agreed to the invitation.
No, it sounds absolutely spectacular. And of course, you've worked with Lebo before, right?
Yes, yeah. I have. Lebo has always tried to get me involved. Actually, he always does it. When he calls, I just jump to it. I realized when we're doing this whole recording and publicity for this tour that he has so much footage of me singing, and I was so young, Gareth, I sounded so good. I was like, "Is this really me?" You know? And I was like, "Oh no, we have to release this. You know, people need to hear this. People need to understand come from our relationship."
What are you talking about? You still sound amazing. I don't know what this, I used to sound so good.
But Gareth, you know, it's like realizing that this is years ago. Like in 2010, we did the World Cup with Lebo M, and that's when he firstly invited me to do something really massive with him. Mm. And we did the opening of the World Cup, and it was amazing. And I did the closing as well. Mm. And he has always tried, but let me tell you, honestly, he played me some recordings and I was shocked that I can actually sound so good. I was like, "Oh my God, Judith, you know what? People have to hear this." And he has to release the stuff that we have done. And as a singer, I think it's exciting for people to know that that is why I always fight to be called a singer and not just, you know, be caged to a jazz singer, a gospel singer, sure, or a classical singer. Be broad.
What kind of stuff are you going to be doing at this Hans Zimmer concert?
Ah, Gareth, I am shaking. So we are doing, you know, Hans Zimmer is a huge film score writer. And he's written songs, theme songs for movies like Interstellar, The Gladiator, Wonder Woman, I think The Woman King as well, and a whole lot more, including The Lion King. And I am singing those theme songs. And, you know, my moments are like, boom, there she is. Ah, sorry, it's so nerve-wracking. And it's this huge orchestra of about, I think there's 50 people on stage from all over the world, and everybody's just amazing. I mean, I, instead of singing, I look at everybody and I'm like, oh my God, is this really happening? And the control that is here is just amazing. So those are the songs that I'm looking forward to sharing. But more than anything, the highlight for me is going to be The Lion King, because that's the energetic, the most energetic and vibrant in the whole show.
Well, I mean, that's like Lebo's, you know, his magnum opus really is The Lion King. And I mean, I've met and spoken to Lebo a couple of times, and I'm always amazed at how just ordinary and humble he is when you meet him. You don't realize, like, this is a guy who's written the film score to one of the most successful movies of all time. Huge. And those songs, a lot of those songs are legendary now. People sing them all over the place. Yeah. They, you know, they don't even realize that it's Lebo's work. What do you love performing the most out of all of those? Because there's so many well-known songs. What's your favorite thing to perform?
In the circle of life. When it comes on, Gareth.
Yeah, beautiful.
It's like you've sung all those songs, and then boom, there's the circle of life coming, and then it comes on for such a short time and out. It's like, oh no, can we do it more? But it's like the climax of the entire show for me. And also, I think it's on Interstellar, the last part of Interstellar, where they added this vocal part, but it's orchestra. It's like a whole wind of instruments coming in. Bam, there it is. And when Hans explains it to me, he says, Judith, just own it. You know, when you get up there, it's power. That's your moment. And Hans, what I love about it, that's why Lebo is, you know, who he is. Lebo shares his heart with people, and I see, because he's working with people that share their hearts with people, their gifts. And Hans said, I want all of you guys to show off your gifts.
Right.
That's beautiful. What he said to us. He gave us that. He always gives a speech before we begin, and he says, this is not my show. This is our show. I want you to show off who you are, your gifts. And there's this Chinese lady. Her name is Tina. Watch her perform in the show. She owns it. And you just, now, she's an entertainer. She grabs you.
Do you know whether we'll be able to watch this online? Because obviously it's a Dubai concert. So there can be lots of people there. Who else is performing, by the way, besides you and Lebo and Hans Zimmer?
It's me, it's Lebo, it's Hans Zimmer. There's a beautiful, beautiful lady called Lisa. I don't know where Lisa is from. And there's Laura as well from LA. But I'm going to check if we can actually watch this online. All I know is that we are recording it. It's going to be available on DVD, and it's going to be available on audio. Yes, okay. So we're recording in amazing venues. We have to drive. I'm possibly going to know the entire Dubai by the time I come back home. So it's such an amazing experience, Gareth. I'm so jealous for me.
How did the rehearsals go? Because I've got this picture of you with Lebo rehearsing. So when this was just a few days ago, right?
So this is what we recorded at home. But for here, Gareth, I could not breathe. I was like, what's my part? I forgot my part to enter a couple of times, and everybody was, they just stop and crack up, and they would say, let's do it again. I mean, the whole me, I was so nervous, but I think the nerves got, you know, me to realize that I still have it in me to actually learn and do great, to perfect myself, to get myself to be a better person, a better musician, a better artist, you know. And once we got to do it, but I'm telling you now, I still don't have it right, but it sounds amazing, amazing, amazing. I just need to see the show, because we're moving to the Coca-Cola Arena, I think tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's going to be huge, huge.
Sounds
huge,
amazing.
I can't wait. Yeah.
And you're going to have live audiences there, and it's going to be like a proper concert. None of this COVID nonsense where people are all watching online, right?
Yes, it's a lot of people. I don't know how many people it is, but I didn't even check that. But I know that it's a huge arena. The first night is sold out. They opened up the second night. It's almost sold out as well. But tickets are still available for people to purchase. So people should come out and see this show.
I know you're a big fan, Jack. And you asked to stick around just so that you could see Judith and say something to her. So Jack Mutlante, go ahead.
You know what, Judith, firstly, hi, hello. I cannot believe this is happening. So I'm gonna tell you a small story and then I'm gonna move into my question, right? So when I was growing up, my dad only listened to Kaya FM in the morning.
Oh yes.
Right? Yeah. So by the time around about the time I started going to high school, your song Cry, Smile, Dance, was my daily anthem. I kid you not. That song, it kind of made life a little bit more easy for me because I hated my high school. So listening to that song in the morning just made things a lot easier. So firstly, thank you for that. But secondly, I keep hearing you explain how everything is coming together, but it seems as if somehow Judith Sepuma does not feel like she's up to the challenge. How is that possible? It seems like exactly. You are still in awe of things. That is amazing to me. To me, it would seem like everything is just a walk in the park. You do it, it just comes naturally.
Listen, the biggest fear, I've always crossed paths with the most amazing people who always, spoke life into my life and kept me on my ground. I think the day I become comfortable with where I am, that's the day I should worry. And that's the day that I will know that I have lost it, you never stop learning. You never stop singing songs differently. And you never stop bettering songs like A Cry, A Smile, and A Dance. I cannot sing it the same as I did 10 years ago. That's why we have arrangers, we've got people who will come and take it to another level, but still keeping A Cry, Smile, and A Dance what it is. So everything has to mature with time. But for maturity to happen, there has to be some learning, experience that goes on. So I'm like a little kid here. Trust me. I say, and everybody, by the way, everybody thinks that I'm the youngest in the whole team. I was laughing and they're all like, I just turned 50 last year. You're such a little kid. You're still so young. I'm like,
like your energy is so infectious. It is so infectious.
I'm so happy. You know what? Beautiful. If you sit with Lewe,
here he is. Understand why. Here he is. Look, there the man is. Lewe.
Hey, guys. Hey.
How are you, sir? Nice to see you. Are you on your way through the airport now?
I just got my luggage here. Morning, guys.
How are you, Lebo?
I'm good, thank you. Thank you.
It's so nice of you to join
us. Judith, are you up?
I know you. Here's Judith.
Oh, well, thank you. I was just skinnering about you, Lebo, telling them about how amazing your energy is. So just like mine. Like, boom.
Don't lie in public.
Oh, wow.
Don't lie in public.
So,
hey, morning, guys. Sorry. I don't even know if I'll stay on long enough. I'm going through security.
No problem.
Actually, I just got my luggage.
So just quickly.
Just
quickly, right. Because I know your time is limited, and I really appreciate you joining us, even in the airport. But, Lebo, this concert sounds absolutely amazing. And it sounds like something we should all be a part of. But I mean, so many people are only going to be able to watch it after the recordings are done. What's your most exciting part of all of this? Because we're in awe of the fact that you and Judith are over there working with Hans Zimmer, doing this amazing stuff. It's not your first time working with him, is it?
No, well, it's not our first concert, but it's the first one in.
No, I think we lost him.
Damn.
Yeah.
I think we lost Lebo. Don't worry, Lebo. I mean, he's actually literally got off a plane and joined us, so that's good enough.
Yeah.
Love it.
Busy times, sure.
Yeah, no, it's incredible. Absolutely. So here's Tracy's point. She says, Judith's humility is a true sign of a creative genius. The willingness to learn, exploration abilities, and being in the moment and having fun. I love that about her. Well, I think that's all true for you. You love sort of absorbing what's actually going on in the moment, right? Yeah. Is that right, Judith?
Absolutely. And I have this blessing of always having to work with people who have the same energy or even more, and when I get quiet, I get so overwhelmed because I'm looking at everybody and thinking, what, life is actually so good. And there's actually people that are more crazier than me. But getting into an environment that is unfamiliar is, is something that forces you to grow, forces you to get out of your comfort zone. And coming out of your comfort zone is important. It's important.
Well, I'm very, very excited to have both of you on the show, even if it was very – there's Lebo again. Sorry, Lebo. We lost you for a second there. You were just busy telling us about –
Don't worry about it.
You were telling us about how you've worked with Hans before. But tell me what's in store for this concert.
Well, this is a special one. It's our first concert in the UAE. We've been doing this tour since 2014, and I've been plotting – I've had a lot of people come through, but I've been plotting, trying to figure out at which point I get Judith on the tour. And we needed to make sure that is when the big global spotlight is there, because I love Judith. Yeah. I've worked with her so many times. And I needed to, let me just pull over here. Well, I needed somebody to be sure that whoever's coming in is going to deliver, but I know Judith over-delivers, so I'm really excited about that.
I think everybody's excited to see you two kind of doing something together. Yeah. So Lebo, how long do you have to be in Dubai now? Have you just flown back there now and you're going to go straight into the concert?
Yeah. Well, I've got one or two rehearsals and go straight to the stage.
Amazing.
How crazy is that?
Oh, it's amazing. I love it.
Well, I'm getting my car ready.
Well,
yeah,
listen.
But I'm on. Go ahead. Keep talking with Judith.
Yeah.
She's a star, you know. I got nothing to say.
No, thank you.
Lebo,
I'm just waiting for you. I'm waiting for him, guys. Lebo, I miss him when we're rehearsing. I said yesterday that, can Lebo please just come in the middle of the Lion King? I'm like, where is he?
He said he's coming. I didn't know we rehearsed. Look what I'm doing. I didn't even know we rehearsed. I'm busy with my passport.
Sorry, guys. That is a very full passport. Huh? Lebo, thank you so much.
Yeah.
We're gonna let you go and get through security. We'll speak to you soon, my friend. Cheers.
Thank you, guys. All right. Good to see you, Garrett.
See you now.
No problem.
See you at breakfast.
Thank you, Lebo. Cool. All right, Judith. Have an awesome concert. Yeah. So great to see you. Best of luck.
I'm sure you and Lebo
are going to do us very proud, as you always do.
We will. I promise.
Thank you. Much love, my friend. Nice to see
you. Thank you. Love you too, my friend. Bye-bye. Bye.
Judith Sepuma and Lebo M. What talent. Mm. See,
wow. I'll tell you what. Have you been seeing clips of the Beyonce concert, which has just taken place in Dubai this weekend?
No.
And you see the, I've never seen a production this mind blowing.
Really?
And if that is anything to go by, they do things well in Dubai. Okay, for this Beyonce concert, she got paid, I think, $24 million.
Wow.
The
holy shit for a one-off.
When I say the whole city got involved, from the shot that I could see, the buildings, the skyscrapers were about this big in the shot.
Wow.
And each one of them had a fireworks display going off. So they got the whole city involved in putting together this amazing production. She at one stage is on the stage. When I say the stage, I mean, it's, you can't imagine the size, the scale of the backdrop. It's just huge. It's something that I've never seen before. She at one stage is on a Perspex platform, which slowly rises out of the stage and towers up. I'm talking building height, where she's standing on this little circle of Perspex and singing and just not moving so she doesn't fall off the edge. I don't know you couldn't see any safety precautions that were, I mean, I'm sure they were taken, but there was nothing visible to the eye. It was really powerful. I haven't seen anything like that before.
It does seem to me, and maybe you guys have the same feeling about this, but it seems to me like Dubai is trying to position itself as the world's new entertainment capital. I mean, if you think about it looks like they're the ones putting on the biggest New Year's fireworks display. They're getting all the best artists over there. They're trying to do all the most exciting things in Dubai because obviously their economy, they're trying to move off of oil and into everything else. They've already done it with these skyscrapers and hotels. And like now that I think it won't be very long before they buy the Oscars or before they buy the Grammys, or they buy up any entertainment project that they can get their hands on, because they're already spending more than anyone else, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
makes a lot of sense. Makes a lot of sense. And I mean, they've got the infrastructure to put together any kind of production in any case. So if not, why not?
Yeah. No, I think it's a great idea. And listen, I mean, I've never really been a big fan of Dubai, but I've only ever seen the airport and like a few little things outside of the airport, which haven't really, I've always thought it was kind of a fake place, but I'm starting to, I'm starting to see some very promising ideas around like the way they're positioning Dubai as this center of entertainment and of hospitality. And, you know, it's a very forward thinking place, and you don't have to like anything about Dubai to have to stand in awe of the way that they've built this incredible place out of the desert. I say good for them. If they're going to be paying people like Judith and Lebo M and Beyonce and whoever else to come and entertain people there, then they're doing the right thing, because they're going to get the people coming.
Yeah.
And I think for me, that's the headline, right? Like the fact that they were able to do that in that country in such a short amount of time. Like 20 years ago, we would not have this conversation about Dubai.
No way. No.
And that is in some, it's not even in someone's lifetime. It's in a couple of decades, which is, it's one of the few examples that we still have of what people can achieve when they put their minds to one goal, you know?
Yeah, spot on, precisely. All right, some of the other things that are going on in the news that we need to pay attention to. Apparently, this is quite scary because, juice, was it hot over the weekend. I know they say that it's boring to talk about the weather, but we supposedly were going through a heat wave. Apparently, it was so bad that there were 7 farm workers in the Northern Cape who died from heat stroke due to the persistent soaring temperatures over the province in the last week. That was in the Northern Cape, but I mean, we had the same kind of heat here. I don't know if you, how did you keep cool this weekend, Leanne?
I just let it all hang out, Gareth. I walked around the house with, with very little on, and I'm not blessed with air conditioning, but I had my fan on full, and I would lift up certain parts of my body to aerate underneath those parts and just hoped like hell that no one could see me from the windows.
Oh, what a sexy thought.
that and iced lemon water, that was my trick for this weekend.
Yeah. That I
have to echo your sentiments. I mean, so I'm back home at my mom's place. So we just basically left all the doors open. I don't think I had a t-shirt on the entire weekend. Like, it's just, you know, let it all hang out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm happy to admit that I had a little night swim all on my own at least twice this weekend and over the course of last week. And there's nothing better. And like, you've got the stars. It was mostly a clear sky. You know, there was very little cloud around, and it's beautiful. I mean, like, this is the summer that you want in South Africa. But having said that, it does get so hot that you find yourself unable to do anything. You're just like completely lazy. You sit around and you just you feel like you've been drained of all energy.
Yeah, it takes a lot, and you kind of end up getting a headache from the heat, and you can't even think anymore.
Yeah.
Trying to, you know, sit at a laptop and work is very challenging. You just want to just survive the day.
We may not have their money, but we've got Dubai weather at the moment. So we'll take that.
Oh yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's pretty clear.
Oh no. Basitsana says it's going to get hotter this week according to the weather reports.
It is.
Jesus. Really? How much hotter can we get? Really, really?
Yeah, warnings have been sent out about this week.
Oh, shit.
We'll see how that goes.
Yeah, I'm looking at it.
I saw some weather report a couple of days ago that suggested there might be rain this week, and now I'm hearing something completely different. Oh, my God.
Forget about it.
I think I counted 14 drops of rain the other day.
Yeah. on Saturday, 14. I think, yes, was it Saturday? No, Friday evening in Soweto. there were a couple of drops. Like it was, I wouldn't call that rain at all. It was like a couple of drizzles.
It was something.
Yeah, I know. They dried up before they even hit the ground.
Yeah, the sky decided to sneeze. That was about it.
I had
what we need is a good cough fart combo from the sky.
I had every intention of like doing some exercise this weekend, and what I did do is I pretty much lost weight just through sweating over the course of the weekend. But I didn't do any. I was going to go to gym. I was going to do all kinds of stuff, and none of it materialized because it was just too hot. So I'm not even embarrassed to admit I was useless when it came to that stuff.
No, absolutely. I think I made it to the shops and did two bags of groceries, which always end up being about 1,000 rand for some reason. Oh. Got home, took off my clothing, sat under the fan, and I thought that's as much as I can do today because it was exhausting the heat.
I'm just picturing you sitting there with no clothes on under the fan.
Oh, yeah. Total starfish, either lying on the bed or standing directly in front of the fan, lifting up the necessary bits to aerate whatever's underneath.
So sexy. So not sexy. All right. But you mentioned something else there that I think is really important. Like, I also went to the shops over the weekend, and you buy basic stuff. We said Dubai. Now you buy basic stuff, like not expensive things, a packet of tomatoes and some bread and like a new thing of milk because your milk has gone sour in this heat and with load shedding and everything. And you buy like very, very basic stuff. I'm not talking about expensive snacks or things that you kind of buy as a treat for yourself or any of that. This is just
your essentials,
the basically. Minimum. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you go to the counter, and I'm not talking about Woolworths, by the way. I'm talking about just a Checkers up the road, which is very good. And Leanne is right. You walk out with two plastic bags, and it's pretty much over 1,000 rand now. You know?
Yeah.
It's.
And listen, I actually did a comparative shop before I went shopping. I don't ever actually do that. I'm very impulsive.
Yeah.
But for some reason, I had a proper list of stuff that I needed because I was making a certain recipe. And so I thought, well, let me check the prices online. And I looked at two places online. And Woolworths prices are very good at the moment. I'll tell you that much.
Okay.
They've gone a long way in terms of bringing everyday specials and
these
like daily rewards. So yeah, don't overlook it ever, and don't feel bad for shopping there because you feel like you're living beyond your means. They've got a lot of good deals.
I'll admit I do. When I go in there, I'm like, oof, what are you saying about yourself that you're shopping here? And don't get me wrong.
No, they've come a long way.
I don't have a problem with them at all. I'm not one of those people who just disregards them because they seem to have positioned themselves really well as the premium kind of grocery store. And I've often shopped at Woolworths, and I still will from time to time. But I do think when I walk in there, and maybe it's just a branding thing because I haven't done a side-by-side comparison, but I often think, oof, shouldn't you really rather be shopping over there at that place?
No, you'll be surprised.
For me, it comes right down to the look and feel of the place. Like Woolworths just looks and feels expensive. It just feels that way. It's not necessarily the case.
Well, is it expensive or is it like a premium brand? Is it like when you're shopping
in there? That's the word I was looking
for. When you're shopping in there, you don't feel like you're necessarily spending more, but you feel like you're in a place that is making shopping a little bit more pleasant. I mean, this is not taking into consideration all those housewives who smash you out of the way with their trolleys and stand in the middle of the aisle, take up all the space. My favorite are these people who stand with their trolleys, and they're in the middle of the aisle, and their trolley's parked across the aisle, so lengthwise. So it's blocking. You can't go past. And then they stand and they look up and down at the shelves and they go, dum, 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 dum. And they're comparing.
With no idea that you're behind them.
No, and they don't care that you're. And
awareness.
And when they see, when you go, excuse me, then they look at you like, how dare you interrupt my private experience in this shop?
I always find that there's one person. If I'm in a parking lot and there's like some kind of awkward situation with someone else, or we're both grabbing the same trolley, or we're both in the fruit aisle, it's going to be that person until the last aisle that I keep on bumping into. And that's going to piss me off all the way to the till. For some reason, you find this one person and you keep bumping into them and they're always in the way.
So Carl says, our weekly grocery bill's $2,500. That excludes cleaning stuff. It's ridiculous. Yeah, I mean, that's
weekly. Not bad.
Weekly. XXXMensa says, Setic Vision and Music. Fede, what's a Khara Khara Klivovo? Leanne, you sexy thing. And show out to Mfetu Da Fede, what's a me outie? Yes, there's a complicated. There's about 10 different, like, South Africanisms piled into that. Very, very good. Carl says, go and buy a quarter watermelon at Woolies and then one at Checkers and it'll become clear as to why Woolies is more expensive. Quality, he says.
That's the other thing. The stuff lasts for longer in the fridge.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, some people, like Peter says, he won't set a foot in there, but Chelsea says it's a mindset. I don't know. Steph says, I was in Jersey over Christmas. I gave a car guard $50 and they seemed disappointed.
Jeez, like, I'm still like on the £5 phase.
Yeah. Can I ask you this?
What?
Who still carries cash? Like, what do you really need
cash
for?
I actually do.
Do you draw every week?
Yes, I actually do. a lot of it kind of started with an issue where, let's just call it what it is, when I was a bit povo. And the debit orders would suck out any money before I had anything left to buy groceries.
Right.
So I started drawing cash to keep on me for that.
Okay.
I find it's quite helpful. Sometimes you're in a queue and the tills will say, you know, is anyone paying cash? And you get to jump to the front.
Mm-hmm.
So that's quite fun. But yeah, no, everything's by card. Now you can't even, I tried to order a Woolies Dash using cash.
Mm-hmm.
That's now that rhymed. And you can't pay cash on that. Uber Eats, you can't pay cash on those deliveries. So they're making it harder actually.
I actually stopped carrying cash the moment I stopped smoking cigarettes. Like after that, just on a day to day, there was just no need to carry cash.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to this. This is interesting. Slippery Pickle says, I've been shopping at the veg wholesalers. Butternuts, R4.99 a kilogram. Potatoes, R9.99 a kilogram. Red pepper, R11. Each use immediately. Poiki veg, 8 leeks, blah, blah, blah. A trolley full of veg for only R350. That's not bad. But I mean, where do you get these wholesale? Are they all over the place? I don't know.
That's the thing. It's convenience.
Yeah.
I wanted to buy mangoes. This is from Busted Sun. I wanted to buy mangoes from one of those mamas on the side of the road. And to my disappointment, she would not take an e-wallet. And I never have cash on me. No, the reason I ask about the cash is just because I never have any on me anymore. And then, you know, you'll have a car guard or someone who asks you. And I'm just straight up honest with them. I say, look, I don't carry cash. So I'm really sorry. I don't have anything for you. But I use Apple Pay now for everything.
Oh, yeah.
Everything. I don't even need my wallet on me anymore.
That's cool. Yeah, I think it's the way to go.
I think for me, the dangerous thing about that is if you're not financially astute, what ends up happening is you just keep spending money without taking note of what is left in your account. And in a couple of days, all of a sudden, you've actually got nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing left.
Well, one of the reasons I brought up this grocery thing is that here is a full-on drag race between a Checkers 6060 and an Uber Eats guy. Watch. Watch this. Read him in. Sorry, if you couldn't see what was going on there and you're just listening to us, the Checkers 6060 bike and the Uber Eats bike are both at a drag race and they're both like rev and then they go. And I think the Checkers 6060 guy wins. Yeah.
Yeah, the Checkers wins.
It's like a whole community thing, though. I mean, when I have something delivered now, you see the bikers, the delivery guys from all different types, you know, whether it's directly from the restaurant or from Uber or whatever, Pick and Pay, they all know each other and they're all like hooting as they go past each other. Well, that's what I'm presuming.
Well, they do, like, because they all wait in the same places. I mean, if you've ever seen like around where all the takeaway places are, you'll just see like hundreds of bikes and these guys are all sitting around there waiting for their orders to come in. So they talk to each other. They probably have to.
Yeah,
sure. You know, they all know each other. It's very cool. All right, like we were saying earlier, there's lots of news. There's lots of stuff we didn't even get a chance to talk about this morning. We've got to call it quits, though, for today. Monday, the 23rd of January. I hope you have an awesome, awesome day. And whatever you get done today, power to you. Let's make it happen. Let's get this country up and running.
Sure.
Make it work this week, because there's no excuse now. Anyone who isn't back at work by now, you're just you're lazy. That's all, right?
Sure. Or definitely. Unemployed.
Or unemployed. That's it. You can't possibly. You can't possibly be pretending to do something after the 23rd, or pretending to still be on holiday for, you know, whatever bullshit reason you can come up with. If you're still on holiday now, you're just lazy. Sorry. All right, everybody. Mm-hmm. Have a happy day. We will see you tomorrow at 6 a.m. bright and early. Thanks, Ass, and great to see you, Jack. Always, my friend. Nice to catch up.
Good
with you.
To see you too, big guy.
All right. Awesome. Thank you, peoples. And well done to Judith and Lebo for making it all the way from Dubai this morning. It's great to have them on the show. We will see you tomorrow. Cheers, everybody. Bye-bye. CliffCentral.com.